we've been speaking a lot about halachas concerning Chanukah. I thought we'd just spend a little bit of time talking about some of the halachas / menhagim that come up in Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah and the Poskim concerning Chanukah. So one of the issues concerning Chanukah touches a little bit on what we spoke about in the past in terms of the Macham Hatlocha. So we said that the Macham Locha is very, very defined in halacha, both in terms of Bizman Chazal and Bizman Rishon, Bizman Hazeh. But nevertheless, we do find a strange thing concerning the halacha of Chanukah, a statement that appears in the Shulchan Aruch that has its roots already in a tshuva in the Rivash, that there's a minig Yisrael to light Neres Chanukah and Shul between Mincha and Ma'ariv. And the question is, what is the nature of this minig, and what is the source of this minig, what is this all about? It's a very, very striking minig because, on the one hand, the Gemara speaks so much about the Ner being Machom Abayis, and Pesach Abayis, and Pesach Chotzer, etc., and we assume that one is not Yaitz, even with the evidence, one lights Neres Chanukah in a place that's Bechlal not Shaykh, that it lights in the street, it wouldn't be Yaitz in the mitzvah. Nevertheless, we do light the menorah in Shul, and we even recite a bracha on this. So one can just take the attitude that in Rechinam, you know, one is not Yaitz, you're not Yaitz anything with this Hadlocha in Shul, because it's not, unless you're Marshal of the Shul, but you're not Yaitz anything with the Hadlocha in Shul, and it's just a Minig Yisrael, it's a nice Minig Yisrael. Maybe you want to call it a Zechel Mikdash, take a Minig, whatever the source of the Minig is, it's a Minig, it's not a real din. And therefore, we would have no qualms doing it, and perhaps we could even justify reciting a bracha on its behalf. The problem is, there is a major machlokes in Rishonim about a general take about reciting brachas on minhagim. The Gemara has, in the end of Maseches Sukkah, a machlokes about whether that which we take a ravis on Hoshana Rabbah, is that a mitzvah derabanan, or is that only a minig? The Gemara says, everybody agrees that it goes back a long, long time. It goes back to the days of the Anshe Knesset Gedolah, back to the days of Chag Zechariah Malachi. The Gemara just asks Machlokes whether it was instituted as a din midrabbanan, that the Beis Din of the Chag Zechariah Malachi instituted as mamish as a mitzvah derabbanan, or whether it was only a minig rabbanan, it was only a minig neviim, it was only a custom that they instituted, but it wasn't a formal takana. So the Gemara says, my nafkimi, at the end of the day, you have to fulfill mitzvahs and you have to perform minhagim, so who cares whether it's a mitzvah or a minig? So the Gemara says, no, it's nafkimi, whether you recite a bracha. If it's a mitzvah, then you recite a bracha, because we recite brachas on mitzvahs derabbanan. If you hold the chibat arava, banging the arava in a shenarab is only a minig, then chavod v'lo baruch. Then you just bang it, but you don't recite a bracha. So it's clear from that Gemara that our take on minhagim is to say you don't recite a bracha, which is exactly what we do. And Ma'aseh, so we don't make a bracha on a shana rabba because we assume that like that mandiyam, then it's only a minig. So there's a big machlokes between Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam about what the parameters of that statement of the Gemara is. So the Rambam takes that Gemara Kepshut, the Rambam, the Edifachos Brachos, takes that Gemara Kepshut and says that anything and everything that is only b'teres minog, one never recites a bracha. There's no such thing as making a bracha on a minog. And the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. That's close in the Sukkah than Rabbeinu Tam, that the Gemara never meant to say that all minhagim don't require brachas. The Gemara just meant to say that certain minhagim don't require brachas, and Hoshanas happens to be one of those kinds of minhagim that wouldn't require brachas. But other minhagim, you have to judge minhag by minhag to see whether it's appropriate to recite a bracha on it or not. So one of the minhagim that Rabbeinu Tam gives us an example that would in fact require a bracha is the minhag of recitation of Halal and Rish Chodesh. The Gemara says in Maseches Tainis that you're not mechuyav to say Halal and Rish Chodesh. It's only a minhag, and in the days of Chazal it wasn't even a universal minhag. The Gemara says that it was not the minhag in Eretz Yisrael to say Halal and Rish Chodesh. It was only the minhag to say it in Bavel. The Gemara tells a story that when Rav arrived in Bavel, Rav originally from Eretz Yisrael, when he arrived in Bavel, so he saw that with the shul that was saying Halal and Rish Chodesh, he didn't know what was going on. He said, well, what are they talking about? So who says Halal and Rish Chodesh? And then when he saw that they only said a Chatzi Halal, then he realized that it wasn't a real din. They weren't saying Halal as a halacha. It was just a minhag bi'alma, and therefore he'd let them continue to say it, because that's okay. We just have to say a full Halal. We're not supposed to say it. So he's talking about they thought that was not right. But it's only a Chatzi Halal, so the minhag anyway, so good, because it let them continue to say it. That's what has become the minhag, the universal minhag, b'zman hazeh, that everybody says Halal on Rish Chodesh, but only a Chatzi Halal. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Chanukah that when you say Chatzi Halal Rish Chodesh, you don't recite a bracha because it's only a minig, and it's inconceivable to recite a bracha on a minig. And Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, no, that the Halal of Rish Chodesh you can recite a bracha on, you should recite a bracha on, because that's a kind of a minig that you would recite a bracha on. So what's unclear from Rabbeinu Tam is that how do you know which minhagim yeah, which minhagim no? According to the Rambam, so the world is black and white. If it's a mitzvah, deraisa derabanan recites a bracha. If it's a minig, you don't recite a bracha. According to Rabbeinu Tam, some minhagim yes, some minhagim no. How in the world would you ever know which is which? So there's a famous one from the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav explains that there are two different types of minhagim. There are some in Hagim where the etzema pa'ula, the etzema mice that you're doing, is not really teifis in halach. It's not a davashal mitzvah, it's not a pulas mitzvah. It's just a minig bi'alma. So you can't set a bracha, something that's a minig bi'alma. The words don't make any sense. It's shekiv yishanu mitzvah, it's ivanu to do this, if this action is not a mice shal mitzvah. But then you have other kinds of minhagim where the pa'ula that you're involved in is labeled in halacha as a mice shal mitzvah. It's just that right now, at the time that you're doing it, it happens for some technical grounds. Right now, it's not called a maise. The mechayev is only a minhag. So what's obligating you to do action X, Y, and Z is only b'teres minhag. But mitana, it's hard to use the term cheftza because everything is up in the air. But mitama maise, mitam the key, mitam what you're doing is a davashal mitzvah, albeit you're doing a davashal mitzvah in a situation where the mechayev is only a minhag. So the Brisky Rav says that's the lumdus of Shittas Rabbeinu Tam, that some actions which are b'chalal nothing, banging in Arava is not toy face. There's no such thing. There's no such entity in Allah. It's banging in Arava in shul and tinek. That's a meaningless action in the world of mitzvahs. It's not a mitzvah deraisa, not a ma'aseh mitzvah deraisa, not a ma'aseh mitzvah midirabanan. It's a meaningless action in the realm of mitzvahs. It's an action of a minhag. It's a minhag. You can't say with a straight face, shekhan mitzvah yisav yivanas nishkin mitzvah. But the recitation of Hallel, so Rabbi Skirov says, the saying of Hallel, saying of Psukim, that's a ma'aseh shel mitzvah. That constitutes a mitzvah. It happens to be that the tzur that you're saying it now, the day that you're saying it now, it happens not to be on the official mitzvah calendar right now. But the recitation of Hallel does, it's teifes, it's kris ha-psukim, it's no less than any other psukim, which is a kiyum of a mitzvah. Same psukim ha-tanach is a mitzvah. So says the Brisker Rav, that happens to be that the tzur that you're saying it now, the mechai, the engine that's drawing it, is on a b'teres minhag, but it's called the tzur shel mitzvah. It's also a mashal mandam adam, and Brisker Rav says the same part. There is a big machlekes of Rishonim about whether the fulfillment of Yantav Sheni Bizman Hazeh is B'teres Minhag or B'teres Din Midi Rabbanan. Everyone agrees you have to keep Yantav Sheni Bizman Hazeh, even though we know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is, we know exactly when the calendar is, we have a calendar set up. So there's no machlokes about that. It was a Shiloh that was raised. The Gemara says in the beginning of Masechet Beitza that after they realized that they already had Yadin B'Kvir Diyach, when the Amoraim already understood the calendar, they understood, they knew exactly when Rosh Chodesh was, so there was no more Sveikah Diyom anymore in Bavel. So the Gemara raises the question, maybe we should do away with Yantav Sheni Shagolios, because the reason doesn't apply. So the Gemara says in Beit Stavdal that they sent the Shaila to the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael to be Kaveh, to Paskin the Shaila. Shalcham Itam, Yizar B'Benigai B'Seichem. So they sent back that Afa B'Chein, even though the reason doesn't apply, you still have to observe it. Yizar B'Benigai B'Seichem. Then the Gemara says also, maybe the reason does apply a little bit as man as that. Maybe there'll be a Gezeirah, Sa'goyim, we won't be able to do the calendar, Yachsad of Lechakula, also give us a Beitza. But the Gemara uses a Losh, and the response from the Chacham Eretz Yisrael, the Chacham Bavel, to their query was, Yizar B'Benigai B'Seichem. So there's a machlekes and Rishonim about what the meaning of that is. Again, everybody agrees you have to observe it in Shenim. Not in a Sofer, not in a Shaila. A Vadi, living in Chutzot, you have to observe it in Shenim. Remember, I was once sitting in Shul, and I overheard two people talking about, so one said to another, you know, this whole Yodav Sheni thing doesn't make any sense today because we know exactly when the calendar is. So I said, yeah, you're right. We should really tell the rabbi that they should really start to rethink this. They discovered America, these people, 1,700 years ago, already the Amoraim and Bavel really chapped already this problem, and they sent the shot to Ezra, it was a Nimna v'Gomra, so some two guys in Shul thought that they were so smart. Okay, anyway, so the bottom line is, Yizar B'Minigav Yisechem. So as Machlekes Rishonim, what does that line mean, Yizar B'Minigav Yisechem? So the Ran in Masechem Sukkah learns that all that means is that Sim Chazal wanted us to be Yizar B'Minigav Yisechem, they wanted us to keep up Yantav Sheni for whatever reasons that they had, so therefore there was a formal Meisha based in, to be Misakin Yantav Sheni as a Din D'Rabbanan B'Zman Hazeh, and it's an absolute formal mitzvah mid-Rabbanan, no different than Erev Chanukah, Kriyas Megillah, Erev Shabbos, Erev Tashilin, etc. It's a bona fide mitzvah mid-Rabbanan B'Zman Hazeh to observe Yantav Sheni. The phrase Yizar B'Minigav Yisechem was just what prompted Chazal to make that takona, but they made it as a form of takona sochamim, and therefore the Ran says that's why we recite brachas when we eat matzah and Yantav Sheni and the Leila Seida woman benches lech second at Yom Tov, we say halal on second day Shavuos, all the different yehugim, all the different actions that we do, and we recite brachas, so those don't concern us because those are real bona fide mitzvahs to Rabban, and that's what the Ran says. But Taisus and Masechet Sukkah disagrees. Taisus writes that when the Gemara says Yizar B'Minigav Yisechem, it means mamash b'minigav yisechem. It means a minig. It's not a dimid Rabban. Parenthetically, the Rambam writes in the Chosmamrim that when you have minhagim that were instituted by all of Klal Yisrael by the Beis and Agadol, so they're included in lososur. So about you have to observe them. There's no question if a person's machal yantav sheni b'zman hazeh, it's a terrible, terrible avera. But the Taisus writes that the koyach of the mechayev is only b'teres minig; it's not b'teres a formal din derabbanan. So Taisus has to kasha themselves. So how do we recite brachas in Yantav Shein? How do we say Shekin Yisharim Mitzvayim Mitzivanum? If the Gemara says that you don't make a bracha in Chibut Arava, so that's what Rabbeinu Tam says: Yesh v'yesh. That some in hagim yehen, some in hagim no. So the Brisker Rav explains this yisod fits in beautifully. Eating matzah is a ma'aseh shel mitzvah. Benching lecht is a ma'aseh shel mitzvah. Saying hal is a ma'aseh shel mitzvah. It happens to be that on Leil Tes Zayin Nisan, eating matzah is not a ma'aseh shel mitzvah. It's a ma'aseh shel minhag of Yontif Sheini. It happens to be that on second night of Shavuos, the Hadlokas Neres Yontif is not a ma'aseh shel, is not a mechayev, there's no mechayev alts mitzvah. But the ma'aseh, if you just isolate in a vacuum, that ma'aseh of benching Yontif candles, so that is called a ma'aseh shel mitzvah. The mechayev right now is b'teres minig because he's arba minig of aseichem. So that's what the Rav explains according to Rabbeinu Tam. That's okay. You could recite a brach on that because there's nothing lacking in the ma'aseh shel mitzvah shabai. The lacking is in the mechayev.
So you see v'tzivanu.
Yeah, you could say b'tzivanu. But you could say b'tzivanu was going on the old. And this is a ma'isa shel mitzvah. I'm doing a ma'isa shel mitzvah, albeit at a time when it's only b'chayv zot b'teres minig. It's almost similar to what the Ran says in a different context. The Ran writes that how can women recite the bracha when they do mitzvah sheshes ban grama? So how could they say with a straight face b'tzivanu? Rabbi Tam said because they have a mitzvah kiyumis. Kiyumis would definitely harm, but how can they say b'tzivanu? So the Ran says because b'tzivanu is b'loshin rab, and b'tzivanu means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave his general tzivah to Klal Yisrael, even though I personally don't have this mitzvah. But you see, Derech Agav arrived from that Ran that he wasn't Hasidish. Because if it would be Hasidish, then you don't say Vitzivanu, you say Vitzivani. So Vitzivani means Allah Shin Yochit, so then what are you upset?
If the Rambam said that Yechayiv Minhagim because of Losasur, then why? And the Rambam holds that you say a second son on Losasur, so why don't you make a
Right, right, that's the Brisker Rav brings arrived from that. So the Brisker Rav says that it's a different part, that you can't, it's not, you can't make a bracha on something. You can't make a bracha on something that's not called a davar shel mitzvah. It has to be labeled a davar shel mitzvah.
According to Rambam, why shouldn't you make a bracha on al?
Right, right. So that's what the Brisker Rav explains, that the Rambam held that Kriyas Halel is not called a ma'aseh shel mitzvah, because it's only chatzi halel. So chatzi halel is not the same as a halel shalom. It's a different chefza shel halel. The Brisker Rav tries to explain, he sticks in what we're saying with Asher Benetam, he claims the Rambam concedes to also. He thinks the Rambam holds the same part. And now he has to explain away why the Rambam holds that the recitation of Chatzi Halel is not a Ma'aseh Shel Mitzvah. That in Ochinami, Lu Yitzu would have been a Ma'aseh Shel Mitzvah, then it would have been okay.
And the Rambam doesn't say that Yom Tov Sheni is
so he claims that the Rambam says that Tzachmachlag is what the Rambam holds about Yom Tov Sheni. I think the Brisker Rav, I'm not mistaken, claims that the Rambam holds that it's only a minug, and still the Rambam says you make brachas, because the Rambam also buys into this idea of Rabbeinu Tam. It's just the Machlekes of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam is just whether a Chefza of a Chatzi Halel is still called the Ma'aseh Shel Mitzvah or not.
So when Rambam says al menagim, you don't.
So he doesn't mean al menagim. He means al menagim that don't have a shem mitzvah to them, right? That's right. Anyway, get back to the story. So based on this whole background, so now we have to address the issue of reciting a bracha on lighting chanukah candles in shul. So everybody agrees that it's not a real din to light chanukah candles in shul. It's only b'teres minig to be shem, right? So what gives us a right to make brachas? So we as Ashkenazim are not so bothered by that. We recite brachas in halal mishchaydish, so we're okay. There are a lot of menagim that we recite brachas on. But the problem is that the Shulchan Aruch quotes this. The Shulchan Aruch of Chanukah quotes making a bracha on a halal and shul, even though the Shulchan Aruch holds in Uchus Rosh Chodesh not to recite a bracha on a halal and Rosh Chodesh. So based on this Brisker Rav, maybe one can explain that there's a big difference between the two. That it could be that the Shulchan Aruch Shita is that halal and Rosh Chodesh is not a cheftish and halal. The Torah doesn't recognize that. Halacha doesn't recognize chatzi halal as the entity of a mitzvah. The definition of halal means a halal shalom from beginning to the end. So when you recite a chatzi halal, it's not shaykh to make a bracha. But the halacha menorah in shul, my halacha menorah it is. Eloa, it's not your bayis, it's not your chotzer. So it doesn't have all the details, all the technicalities of to fulfill the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah. But the ma'isa lach sevenor per se is a ma'isa shal mitzvah. So maybe one can argue that even though the mechayev in shul, which is not your house, is not a mechayev of a mitzvah, it's a mechayev of a minug, maybe the Rambam also buys into that. So maybe the Rambam would also defend that. The Shulchan would also accept that idea of reciting a bracha on it. So maybe so. The Menahe slice it, the minig is that we do recite a bracha. And again, according to the Ramah and the Rabbeinu Tam, it's very, very easy to understand. typical, even according to the Rambam, perhaps we could defend this. Within the Rambam himself, it's hard to say the Rambam doesn't quote this minhag, so it could be this minhag didn't even exist in the days of the Rambam, but the Shulchan Aruch does quote the minhag, even though the Shulchan Aruch holds like the Rambam, not to recite brachas, generally speaking, on minhag. But I hope on him, that's what we do practice this idea of reciting a bracha, and we light the menorah. What is this based on? Why do we light for? Where did this minhag come from? Why is there any reason to light the menorah in shul? So there seem to be a few different mahalchim in the poskim as to what this is all based on. So there's a comment of the Gra, where the Gra writes that it says in Masechet Sofrim that on Pesach night you're supposed to say Hallel and Shul. Besides the Hallel, you're going to say it to say it, you're supposed to recite Hallel and Shul as well. So it's unclear what the goal of that Hallel is. If you're in Faraspa, you're already saying Hallel, but you say this, what do you jump in the gun and say Hallel a few hours earlier for? So it's not clear what the goal of that Hallel is. It's not even clear whether we should say the Hallel. That Hallel doesn't appear in the Gemara. It appears in Masechet Sofrim. Masechet Sofrim is a compilation of braises written by the Tanoim. So many of the things are quoted in the Gemara, many things are la'alocha, and some things are not necessarily la'alocha. So there are different minhagim in the Rishonim already, in the later poskim. That's why we have different communities, different minhagim. The Sfaradim, and the Chassidim, and the Yagra, they're all machbet to say Hallel and Shul on Pesach night. That's why in Eretz Yisrael, that's the minhag, because in Eretz Yisrael, the minhagim were all nikvu based on the Sfaradim, the Chassidim, and the Yagra. They were the three forces of Kaveh minhagim in Eretz Yisrael. That's why in Eretz Yisrael, nobody wears tefillin and chalamoy, because whenever all three of them agree, that becomes the minhag of Eretz Yisrael. Whereas the hardcore Ashkenazim, the Yekis, and some people who still stick to the Ashkenazi customs, so they don't recite Hallel in Shul and Pesach. Because it's not quoted in the Gemara, and the Chachmi Ashkenaz didn't buy into it, so you don't recite it. So again, Yesh v'Yesh. So the Gemara writes that the recitation of the Hallel in Shul is Ke'ein, that idea that we recite, that we light Neres Chanukah and Shul as well. What does that mean? What's the connection between the two? So the Gra seems to hold that whenever you have these mitzvahs of Pesume Nisa, they're almost like two different levels of Pesume Nisa. You're supposed to be Mepharsim as Yechidim, and you're supposed to be Mepharsim as Tzibur as well. So you're going to go home in a few hours and recite the Halal as individuals, sitting around your Seder table. So before you do that, you get together in the shul, and you Mepharsim together. You're about to go home and light Neres Chanukah as individuals, so now before you do that, you light it as Tzibur, as Mepharsim, then Neis together. Kriyas HaMegillah, it's all rolled into one, because Lamaisi, you read the Megillah and Shul together, so you have the Yach and the Ram all rolled into one. But that idea exists that there should be like a Persuma Nisa on behalf of the Tzibur and Persuma Nisa on behalf of the Yachid. So Rabbi Sternberg has in his Sefer Ma'adim Zmanim, not exactly the same vote as the Gra, but this idea that the Hadlokah in Shul is the whole goal of the Hadlokah in Shul is to both be Mepharsim and Senes. Why is that all of a sudden become so important, and why did this minhag doesn't seem to appear in the days of the Gemara? So Sternberg says he thinks it's very much connected to the fact that we spoke about earlier, that the Hadlocha changed from the days of Chazal till today. In the older days, people lit the menorah outside. Now we live in a Shasa Sakana, the Rishayim say, it's not Mamish Crusades, but it's still, people are going to come, they're going to blow your candle, they're going to report you to the police, they're going to make a whole tumult, they see 100 candles all over the street. So since we don't have the ability, most of us, to light Kedasu Chedin, the way the Chachir is supposed to light, and the ultimate person Minisa, so in the days of the Rishon, they felt very bad, they were not fulfilling the mitzvah properly. So Sternberg claims that they instituted Zman HaRishonim, that at the same time that they did away with the Hadlokah Bachutz, so they said we should do a Hadlokah Bachutz, we should do a Hadlokah B'Mokom Pirsum, we should do a Hadlokah B'Mokom Bat Knesios, which is to accomplish that person Minisa. There Sternberg goes even further, there Sternberg writes that he thinks that the hadlokah that we do in the shuls, maybe me'ikah me'ikah din. It's not just Batara's minig, it's a real, real, real bona fide din. What's it based on? So he quotes from a psikta, from a Maimi Chazal somewhere, that doesn't appear in the Gemara, that originally that they used to light in Mokam HaRabim, they used to light mamish in public places, in public areas, in public squares. That was the Ikar Ikar Hadlokah. And then whatever it is, then they toned it down and they made it more alabatim, a little bit, should be a little bit more Pesach HaBayis. But the key of having a public kind of Hadlokah is a real thing. It's not just a game. It's part of the Ikar Hadlokah that you're supposed to have Hadlokah. Hadlokah is supposed to be in the Mokam Mefursim B'Yaisir. So Bizman Azeb, we're not able to light in the Pesach HaBal, Pesach HaChotzer, so then what we do in Shul becomes like the real Takana, becomes like the Etzem HaTakana, and we have a right to recite a bracha because that's part of the Ikra Takana. So that's again very questionable. Is that correct or not? Once I said this over in the name of Rav Sternberg, and then somebody told me that he told Rav Sternberg that somebody said this over his name. He said it's not really what he meant. I don't know, you have to look at the Sefer and see exactly whether I presented it properly or not. I just spoke to his son last night, Shabbat's son last night, he called me about something. So we've kept up over the years over something. He, a couple of years ago, he came and needed some help with something. So so we every once in a while when it comes to Tinex, so he caught me two nights ago. I was busy with something, so I couldn't talk to him. So then he called, I called him back last night, but he told me he had already left Tinex, so he wanted to come over and talk to me about something else. So maybe next time I see him, so I'll have to try to follow up on this. And it would have been a good inyan idea to talk about it. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So the mice that we light the candles in shul, whatever, for better for worse, hopefully for better, so we light the candles in shul. There is a Mishnah Berurah quotes Machlokes that he had with Yaakov Emden about can you light the candles in shul when there's no minyan yet. So sometimes, usually the minyan gives you light between Mincha and Ma'ariv, so can you light in the absence of a minyan? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden said, no, you have to have a minyan presence. But Mishnah Berurah says, why need a minyan? He said, when you light your candles at home, you don't have to look around. You don't have to bring 10 people to make sure 10 people are washing the menorah. It's a presumed misa, even without 10 people, mechdes, you need a minyan. So Mustafa of Yaakov Emden held that b'medav ha'mamurim, that you don't need a minyan. That's what, it's really hatlokah. The yetzim ha'mitzvah is it's hatlokah, it's hatlokah, it's hatlokah. The essence is, Chazal said, you should try to get a little bit of a pirsum. So the pirsum is not the definition of the mitzvah. That's like Rav Moshe said, they don't have to wake somebody up to light the menorah against the Mishnah Berurah. The ikar mitzvah is a mitzvah hatlokah. So cold that you have a pirsum, great. The better the pirsum, the greater. But you don't need a zah. The pirsum is not the engine that's driving the mitzvah. The mitzvah is hatlokah, there's Hanukkah. So then the Mishnah Berurah is right, Tachal, you don't need a minyan. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden must have held that the lighting in shul, the whole yosoid is only, it's all din of a pirsum. The whole goal is a pirsum milsa, a pirsum nisa. So if you're gonna light in a place that doesn't have a minyan, it's a minimum, bare minimum of 10 people watching, so that's gonna be chisor in the yetzim of a pirsum. So that would be inappropriate. So this comes up all the time on Shabbos Chanukah, when people usually a minig is with light between Mincha Ma'ariv. The Rav held that you have to light Mincha Ma'ariv because you can only light when you have a tzibur present. So the Rav was opposed to all these hadlokas outside in the streets and the bridges and Times Square and all the stuff. He held it was all not correct. Again, others disagreed. But the Rav held that the takana was only when you have a tzibur, and the tzibur is only defined by when you have a tzibur, Klai Yisrael gets together down Mincha Ma'ariv. So between Mincha Ma'ariv, that's called a tzibur. So the minig is we light between Mincha Ma'ariv. So the problem is on Friday, on Shabbos Chanukah, if you can wait till after Mincha to light, in most shuls, by the time you finish Mincha, it's very Shabbos. So obviously you have to light before Mincha. So if you can light before Mincha, some of those people are not even shul yet. So many people daven Mincha earlier on Erev Shabbos Chanukah, because Mishnah Berurah quotes that it's more appropriate to daven Mincha if you can beforehand, that way you can light between Ben Mincha and Ma'ariv. But between when you personally daven Mincha before you daven Ma'ariv. But the tzibur usually has a minyan for mincha, and if you're going to wait till after the mincha, it's going to be too late. If you light before mincha, sometimes you don't have a minyan yet. So people like the gabbai likes to run in 2 minutes before mincha schedule and light the candles. So if Yaakov Emden would hold, that's inappropriate. That you can't light until you have a tzibur present. The mishnah says, "Oh, you don't have to check for a minyan. You can light. It's going to be the tzibur's going to come later. That would be acceptable as well." Okay, so again, so we spoke a little bit about this minig of lighting in shul. There's another discussion that Boski about related to minig of Chanukah, and that's what is a person supposed to eat on Chanukah? Is there any celebration in terms of sudas on Chanukah? So that was a big machlekes in Rishonim. Some Rishonim held that there's mamshah mitzvah suda on Chanukah. You have to mamshah the suda, you have to, say we have a sudas purim, you have to celebrate with a chilush tiyah, and most of the Rishonim held that that's not true. The Chazal were not misakah the sudas on Chanukah. We don't have any source in Chazal that were misakah the sudas on Chanukah. The Rambam grad has a law of the Gidim of Chanukah that says they were misakah. In Chanukah, you make simcha, and usually simcha connotes having a suda. So maybe according to the Ram, there's some kind of idea of having a suda. But in Shulchan Aruch, we pass in that the suda's Chanukah really suda shavur shos, and the Lavush explains because since the whole gezeir was of a spiritual nature, not a physical nature, so Chazal were not misak in a physical celebration. So there's no real din that you have to have a suda in Chanukah. Not a fast in Chanukah, that's mikra din, but there's no real chiyuv to have a suda in Chanukah. So Ba'al Fabichei, the Rama writes that this idea is a nice thing to be marbed b'sudas. It is considered to be a sudas mitzvah. If you add a little shiros for tishbach, as long as you sing a little bit of Chanukah songs to make it into an opportunity to be mishabech to Ribbono Shel Olam, so that it transforms what would otherwise be a sudas rishos into a sudas mitzvah. And then the Rama quotes from Mishael, you should try to have a little bit of cheese on Chanukah, because Zeichet, the story about Hudas and the cheese and the Greek general, the whole story. So as a minute you quote already, it doesn't appear in the Gemara, but Mishael already quotes such a minute to have a little bit of cheese. It doesn't mean you have to overdo it, have pizza every single day. Monday pizza, whatever you want, a little bit of cheese sometimes during the course of Chanukah. I can't call it Marbury's a little bit here and there, and that would be good. It doesn't say anywhere in the Poskim the idea of eating jelly donuts. That's a much, much newer event. So the only minig that appears in Mishnah is the cheese story. The idea of eating jelly donuts, of having a lot of oil, a lot of high cholesterol, so that was already instituted much, much later. When I was a kid, I never remember eating jelly donuts. I never heard of such a thing, eating jelly donuts.
What
about latkes? Latkes they ate in Europe. I don't think they ate jelly donuts in Eastern Europe. They had latkes because anything, the cloud goal in Europe is anything that was made of potatoes, they did, because that's the only thing that grew. So that's why we have trouble with potatoes. We have potato kugel. That's why people used to use karpas, potatoes for karpas, because that was the only thing that grew in Eastern Europe. So Zundik, bulbugs, Mundik, bulbugs, every day there were bulbugs, every day they ate potatoes. So they ate potatoes on Hanukkah also. But, okay, so there is a shaila in the poskim about just how much simcha really the days of Hanukkah have. So Chaps and Afkamin in terms of Vilchas Avelus. So there's one lone sheet in Rishayim that says that there's no Avelus in Hanukkah. So we don't pass it. Even on Purim, where there's a real mitzvah simcha, it's Machlis Rishayim, where there's Avelus on Purim. On Hanukkah, I didn't even mention Shukhara. There's one Das Yachin Rishayim. It says there's no, you don't observe Avelus, at least for Hesh and Hanukkah. But again, Halacha, that is not accepted. That we don't accept Hanukkah to be days of real simcha in the fullest sense of the word. So we try as best as we can. We hire a lot of shiurs from Nishbachos and quasi-siddurs, etc. But in terms of a real bona fide mitzvah, so it's not the same as Purim. It's not considered to be Alpidin, a Yom Simcha, the same way Purim is. Okay? So again, we didn't have a chance to touch on all the Menachem of Chanukah or all the Din of Chanukah, for that matter. But I have a feeling that probably next week, I doubt if we're going to have the Shiur, because every night I have to come early for lighting. My kids end school early. I can't imagine we're going to end up with a Shiur next week. If by some chance we're able to find a few minutes here and there, so we'll hop right in, but I don't think it's going to happen. And then afterwards, so Chanukah will be over. So it's time to hopefully learn a Chasukah or something, whatever. We'll go back to Sukkah and we'll figure it out. Okay, great. Okay, at some point. I think the way it looks now,